These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness. Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking?
These are the droids
I felt
looking
nauseous
for.
With just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for. This is
madness. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, I am Mike. Sadly, without Chris, we think he's really looking for some more Episode 9 theories. He's out in the wilderness trying to come up with theories he actually thinks will be in the movie rather than just random ones he comes up with in the moment. So we'll look forward to the return of Chris. But Ryan, we missed you on the last podcast, and one of the big topics we had was how are you feeling about Episode 9? Usually we check in about how you're feeling about your mortality in relation to one of the films being released. But really, this is a moment to kind of set the bar as we've heard all of this news about the casting that has changed, the additions of Matt Smith, Dominic Monaghan. There's been leaks of some still images from the set. There's information that's been out there about what JJ's planning. I guess, what are your expectations now? And for the record, I believe it was Sam and Chris were relatively optimistic, and I kind of was down on it because I just don't think anything can live up to Episode 8. But I'm curious where you stand at this point.
I'd say I'm closer to where you are, Mike, although you were a little negative. And first I want to say, happy to be back. I missed my dudes. I was dealing with some business on Cata Pneumonia. And in terms of how Episode 9 is shaping up, there's really no news that they could give me that would make me sway one way or another in terms of like, oh, like now I'm not excited about the movie, or now I'm like super, obviously I'm already super excited. I could hardly deal with it. I can't function on a day-to-day basis. So there's that. In terms of the new casting news and stuff, you know, some of it is like standard JJ stuff, you know, it's like the Dominic Monaghan kind of thing, and you know, we heard that Greg Grunberg is returning, and I'm glad.
Hooray for Snap. That's actually an interesting question. What is the best Greg Grunberg role? Scott Paterno?
I'm going with his role on Felicity.
I'm saying party attendee in Mission Impossible 3 when Tom Cruise explains traffic patterns.
Oh my God, guys. Greg Grunberg is JJ's Clint Howard.
I can't believe
Grunberg
we didn't get to that earlier.
Abrams?
Clint Grunberg. anyway, so the Matt Smith casting was really interesting. I mean, with a face like that, is he anyone but an Imperial or First Order officer? Like, it'd be interesting, I guess, if he was a quote unquote good guy. But
look at the
I just
Instagram.
Can't.
Look at the Instagram. That's all I'll say.
Does it point elsewhere?
No,
don't hold out on me, Sam.
Look at our Instagram.
Let's just say
the genius curator of the Droids Pod Instagram did some careful selection on the Matt Smith photo or photos selected to see what people thought of him in different lights.
Well, I'll have to look at what the genius curator has been up to.
You really didn't need to say that, but thank you. I appreciate it.
We don't really know the extent of his role yet. I'm very interested. The person I'm most interested in of the new cast, Carrie Russell, of course. We've talked about her. I think she's fantastic. But yeah, in terms of my excitement for Episode 9, I think that it will be too Episode 8 what Return of the Jedi was to Empire Strikes Back. You know, I anticipate it happening that way. I think that middle chapters generally tend to be the most interesting because they don't have to deal with the origin and they don't have the baggage of having to wrap everything up. So they can coast on this momentum that they have. You know, they don't have to answer everything. They can set things up, but they also don't need to get bogged down in us getting to know the characters. They're off and running. So they generally tend to be the least flawed of things like that. But I think that it will still be a really strong installment. I think that JJ is extremely capable, more than capable, honestly. And I think that they will.
And Richard Marquand, am I correct, in the episode six director?
Yeah, yeah. Although we could have seen a David Lynch. You know what I mean? David Lynch was so close to directing that movie.
I was hoping they would go to Lynch for this one, for episode nine.
That'd be interesting. I really wanted to return to Star Wars. That was David Lynch for a second. Thanks for calling it, Dave. So yeah, I'm excited. Micah, I'm not quite as, you know, you said, I think there's a direct quote, it'll be hot garbage. But
yeah, I think that's pretty much what I said.
I don't agree with you there. No, but I think that it will be probably my least favorite of the trilogy, this trilogy. But I mean, that's still better than most movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still can't sleep at night. So
I'm surprised. Right on, you know, Jay. I think there's definite. I need to really do some thinking about the trilogy structure and like whether or not I agree with you. Like I think it's interesting what you brought up, Ryan, when you talk about the freedom that the, you know, directors or storytellers of the middle chapter of a trilogy have. I've never quite thought about it that way, that it's like the ways in which they are unburdened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if I agree that leads to them being the strongest. And I this is not an attempt to be contrarian, but like I do think, at least in my current state, and it totally wavers, but like currently I still put Star Wars above Empire. Currently I think I put Batman Begins above The Dark Knight, which is like a hugely popular that like most people I think would not agree with me on. And so I'm just like, I'm wondering if I guess I'm not challenging your notion like globally, but more like personal taste wise.
Well, and obviously, you know what I mean? I find exceptions. Revenge of the Sith is my favorite of that trilogy, although that there is kind of an exception there. Because
yeah,
it's leading into something else.
Phantom Menace is clearly the best one of those three.
I think you bring up an interesting.
You famously said that At World's End is your favorite Pirates of the Caribbean movie as well.
I don't know. I don't know which any of those are except for the first one. And I know I've seen one.
How does
of
it work
the
in
others?
Quintets I, of movies? I don't know.
I think I've seen one of the others. I might have seen the original trilogy. I have not seen.
How many are there now? Five?
I think there are five.
Oh my God.
And they're probably not done. Let's be honest. That's going on forever. But you bring
no,
up.
No, I mean, we all read that article. That man needs work and he needs friends.
But you bring up the point that I kind of feel like this is the one area where maybe this new sequel trilogy has flaws, in that it wasn't written as one piece by one single writer slash director. I'm a writer collaborator with a couple other writers. Because this was each individual film not tied together from the beginning, it's not as cohesive. I mean, Ryan did a phenomenal job in tying together The Force Awakens with The Last Jedi, and I think JJ will obviously make it work in the third film. But in terms of payoffs and character arcs, it's a little disjointed and will not finish in the way it would if it was all plotted out at the beginning. Doesn't mean it won't be successful. Doesn't mean we won't enjoy the film. But I think there's a little bit better balance in a three-act film structure when it's all set out at the beginning. But that being said, you know, that didn't quite work out in the original trilogy. I just think that, you know, usually you would find a more cohesive story if it all was plotted out ahead of time.
I think that... So here's the differences that we're dealing with in terms of Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams. And I obviously admire J.J. Abrams quite a bit. I like his movies a lot. You know, I love most of his movies, honestly. Like,
so do I.
It's making it sound like I'm less of a fan than I am. However, I think that J.J. Abrams is thinking about the audience the entire time, which makes him a good audience director, which makes him a smart choice for a lot of franchises. So that makes him a smart choice for this final installment. He'll be thinking of the audience. I know that they kind of have to do like whatever damage control they think they have to do,
well, you,
or whatever.
There's already going to be the think pieces. J.J. Abrams solves and saves Star Wars after.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm already anticipating how obnoxious it's going to be, but, JJ is always thinking of the audience. He's a crowd pleaser. And Rian Johnson, I also think, is thing of the audience, but I think above that, he's thinking about dramaturgy, kind of. You know, like he's concerned with where the story should be going, as opposed to where the audience feels the story should be going or has expressed they think the story should be going. So like the throne room sequence, for instance, you know, there's this concept in storytelling of surprising yet inevitable. And I think that that's like a perfect example of that. That is a surprising moment, but when it happens, it's exciting because you're like, oh, I'm surprised, but I shouldn't be, because this is exactly what should be happening. And I think that that is kind of the space that Rian Johnson works in. So he made more of an organic second installment for something that wasn't mapped out, as you said. However, I think that JJ will kind of take the end of that movie and then just kind of make a crowd-pleasing movie, as yeah. he kind of is want to do. And that will be fun. I don't think it'll be as interesting.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of have the feeling that I do about the film. I'm going to have fun with it, but I am going to walk away feeling like, you know, I didn't get the full meal that we've talked about so often with The Last Jedi.
Yeah, you'll just get dessert.
Yeah, which is not. Hey, I enjoy dessert.
I love dessert.
I love the I love the sort of dramaturgy tie-in. I'm gonna have to think about that too, Ryan. Like that, because I definitely think that appears to be, you know, in watching that documentary behind the scenes, just like hearing Rian Johnson talk about how he approached the movie, I definitely see, you know, I've mentioned on the podcast before, I work in theater, and I've come into contact with a lot of dramaturgs over like projects that I've you know, worked on in, you know, over the past few years. And it's like, there's definitely that element of like thought process behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. I think I wanted to go back. I had just two thoughts. One was that I think one of the ways that I'm realizing I like am defining like favorite sequels is like whether or not they I don't want to say improve. I'll say enrich the first part of a film. You know, and I think. You know, I do think when I'm naming those other sequels that I'm on the fence about whether or not they're the best in the trilogy or whatever, I think all of them do that. You know, I think Empire enriches Star Wars. I think The Dark Knight enriches Begins.
Dead Man's Chest enriches Black Curse of the Black Pearl, right?
Absolutely. You I really, betcha. You know, Dark of the
you
Moon.
You betcha. Now we're talking.
Dark of the Moon enriches. I don't know. Which one was that?
Second Revenge of the Prince? Fallen is what you're talking about.
Who cares? Who cares? It's all CGI. It's all. Money. It's money on screen personified with a
Star
voice.
Wars podcast
and garbage pit.
But the other thing, Ryan, we were talking a little bit you know, another peek behind the curtain before we pressed record on this episode. We were talking about, you know, the US Open just wrapped up, and when you're talking about Ryan, like, you're already steeling yourself for like the think pieces about how JJ has saved Star Wars after, you know, the travesty of Rian Johnson's you know, I would say masterpiece. I've already been thinking like, I don't know if I can, I don't know how I'm going to watch the women's tournament of the US Open next year because of all the narratives that are going to be written, like about, you know, about Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka. Like, that was so harrowing to watch as a tennis fan. And like the whole episode felt like, just in the way it was handled, like so bad for tennis. But also, like, in some ways, you know, the overriding like sports narratives that people love to write going into these things. I'm like, can I even watch that next year? I'm like preparing to stomach it.
Well, it's so funny with the JJ returning thing, because it's like, anyone would want to direct a Star Wars movie. So I'm not like making fun of JJ Abrams. However, I understand that the narrative of some people is like, oh, they called in JJ to like bring this thing home. You know, that kind of thing.
You
and when I heard that
wanna,
JJ
you know who didn't want to direct one, Tony Gilroy. Let's talk about that.
Oh god.
Sorry.
But when I heard that JJ was coming back, I was like, "Oh, JJ like felt like he missed out on the fun." You know, like, I feel like JJ saw what Rian Johnson did and was like, that was genius. I want to like do another one. I feel like the narrative that'll be created by the trolls is going to be like, oh, like they had to call back JJ because he needed to fix this
to right the ship, but no.
The best scenario is if he does push it in any way, if he steps out of the JJ expectation. I mean, if he delivers on what we all know he's capable of, that's a victory in and of itself. If he gives us the nostalgia, the world, the satisfying, you know, crowd pleaser, you know, laugh a minute, action beat a minute, like thrill ride, that's going to be a victory, right? Like that's a great scenario. But if he takes it a step further, if your read on it was right, Ryan, you know, if he's looking at it and going, man, Ryan Johnson really, really, you know, went out on a limb, I want to do that. And if he does that, we could be in for an absolutely epic conclusion.
So if JJ is in the mood to do something hot and fresh.
Oh no.
I am decidedly not using those words.
To do this too much because it's like inside baseball, but like offline, you know, before we hit record, Sam was saying like, I hope we have like a hot and fresh take. Sam plays this card if he doesn't like the hot and fresh, but Sam is the biggest proponent of hot and fresh of anyone on the podcast.
Chris is out there hopping around the Pacific Northwest. He knows what I mean, and I hope he enjoyed this bit because that's all he's going to get. Can we move on?
Yeah. I want to get back to
Sam. I know you said that you'd like say it was a bit and like you'd do this whole thing, but like I know you want the people to know that you love the hot and fresh.
Mike, can we move
on? And you want JJ to do something hot and fresh. That's your hot and fresh.
I want to go back, though, to what you said. If he's inspired by Ryan Johnson, I don't think JJ's capable of being inspired by Ryan Johnson and going out and trying to do something like he did. Because I think JJ, in being so reliant on the mystery box, as we've seen many times, doesn't know how to conclude a story.
Well, it would be asking someone to, like, change their sensibilities, which is great,
but that seems like a tall order.
Yeah, but like I mean, I agree with you, but I think you are saying it this way too. I'm saying it with love because I think that JJ is incredibly talented, and I don't want to see him kind of retread. Yes. It'd be great to see him really spread his wings.
I think everybody's kind of been waiting for that as a JJ fan. We maybe thought that Super 8 was going to be that, and it wasn't. And
I love that movie, but like that movie is also the part. It's impossible to deny that like part of that movie's appeal is that it's a Spielberg movie that Spielberg isn't making anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that's the appeal that drew me in, and then it fell apart in the third act.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, don't they?
You don't agree?
No, but I know that that's like the me thinking that the third act of that movie works is pretty hot and fresh. So, you know, I don't want to get Sam too excited again because he loves it when I say that. But anyway, yeah.
Well, anyway, being that this is not the total J.J. Abrams film catalog podcast, we'll get to that one eventually. Let's move on to
what
Solo.
Is going on with regarding Henry, though? Are they rebooting it?
They should. Solo, A Star Wars Story, September 14th, is available on digital. Chris has already seen it again on a flight to the Pacific Northwest, which Sam had mentioned where he is right now. So we'll look forward to his hot and fresh take about Solo, A Star Wars Story, when he returns on his second viewing. But for both of you, will you be buying the digital release and watching this weekend? How many times will you watch? What special features and what moment of this film are you looking forward to reliving? Sam, I know you want to relive part of it. I don't know if Ryan wants to relive as much of it.
Guys, this is complicated because here's the thing. I know what you're setting me up for, Mike. I know what you're setting me up for, which is that this is a darned if I do, darned if I don't. Answer, because if I buy it immediately and watch it immediately, I'm just going to get flack from you guys about the fact that I've been saving The Last Jedi for a truly savored rewatch with you coming up soon.
Okay,
but,
let's make it our fault.
But if I would love to. Thank
That's been
you.
Reappropriated thank you for, into being our fault.
Thank you for owning it, Ryan. I want to thank you. I want to thank you and say that I appreciate you stepping up and owning that. I do really appreciate that.
Sam, I actually won't fault you,
on me.
I'm not going to fault you because I agree with you always about whether or not you have this movie that you can watch endlessly because it is so surface level. I think it's not a... I wouldn't fault you for watching Solo again before The Last Jedi. However, I will fault you for how long it has taken you to watch The Last Jedi.
No, you're 100% right. I'll say this. I don't know if I'll literally buy it Friday or if I'll buy it soon after, but what I'll do is I'll buy it the day that I have the 2 hours to, you know, to watch it or to like throw it on in the background of something. My wife, I can say that now, as we acknowledge that I am now recently married. My wife hasn't seen Solo yet. And she usually goes with us to the premieres of these Star Wars movies. So, you know, I think if she's down for watching that one, like, I'll absolutely pick it up. And I am eager to have one that it's like it's the Coors Light of this franchise. You know what I mean? Like it's drinkable. It's smooth. It can go in one ear and out the other. Don't try that at home.
All right, I love mixed metaphors.
Sorry.
I will be buying it. I'll be purchasing it, and I'll probably watch it a lot. I'd say 30% of the time it'll be hate watching. 70% of the time it'll be just watching it. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it enough, and the part that I'm most excited to see again is the Kessel Run. I want to see that giant monster.
I love that scene. Now wait, did you? Sorry, I'm trying to remember. Is that a scene you loved or?
I did.
That's funny.
I love giant monsters.
Don't try
and tell me giant monsters aren't a part of Star Wars.
No, I'm not.
You know what? And if anyone has to say that, come at me, bro.
I wouldn't dream of it. I wouldn't dream of it. You know, I cannot deliver a take that's that. What do I want to say? That's surprising. I think is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, a lot of your takes are cold and stale.
Ooh. No, I it's funny. That's a sequence that I loved the I liked the like dialogue and energy of that sequence, but like I didn't find it like visually exciting. And I didn't like that's how they like I don't know if this was like a lose-lose scenario for the writers, but like I didn't like that's where they like that's how they depicted the Kessel Run. Man, I gotta watch this movie again.
I bet you're really excited to watch all those barge scenes and Paul Bettany's barge like casino ship that they clearly shot in a day and a half, all of them. That's exciting.
You're reminding me of
how about
of
that
what?
Reveal of you're, Darth Maul
you're reminding
where
me
we
of
all
how
feel
badly...
our immortality because we see how old we've all gotten.
You're reminding me of how badly I need to vacuum while this movie's playing.
Oh. Yeah. Or
so
I
Mike,
bet,
what about you? Are you gonna be picking it up?
I've already pre-ordered.
Oh, baby.
Right away
that's,
on iTunes.
That's our Mike.
Hey, I'm the only one who saw it twice in the theater. I'm
Mike went to the bathroom, so he still doesn't know how he got that name Solo.
It really is more meaningful now when we hear that his name is Ben Solo. I think that last name really does mean something, and they set it up in a way that it brought more reverence to the family, and I don't think that Ben Solo should be named Ben Organa.
You're alone, Ben Solo, and that's what that means.
Well, he made the choice. He actually was called Ben Organa until he decided to leave his entire family and become Ben Solo. That's his real name, not Kylo Ren.
Do you think in the Leia prequel they'll reveal that like that Bail Organa, like his name was just like, you know, Bail Stevens, but then he needed the new name and he really liked playing a wind piano?
I thought you were going to say that he had to give up an organ.
That'd be better. To be honest, all I was trying to do was like not make like a penis joke.
Well,
wind piano. Well, first of all, you did wind piano, but second of all, because
oh,
who plays? Because
hot and fresh,
because who plays? Who plays a wind piano? That's all we'll say. But that's a term to go down in the Wikipedia. Somebody add it.
Yeah.
So no
this
genuine.
This is now canon.
No genuine excitement for watching this film.
I am excited. No, you know what? I am excited to have access to this film at all times. That's true. Like, I really am excited to be able to put it on, and it could be low stakes all the time, and I could just enjoy the parts I enjoy and kind of tune out the parts that I don't enjoy. You know, I feel like that's how this movie will work.
I think it's a funny thing because, like, I feel like this was what happened after our... We did the episode where it was like our immediate reactions, like literally having walked out of the theater. And then in the conversation since, Ryan, I don't know that I've ever like fully disagreed with you on anything about the movie. And if I get analytical about it, you know, I don't love it in the way that if we get analytical about The Last Jedi, I love it more, you know, but I know I'm going to enjoy watching it again just because of like, it was a ride. I like it for that. It's a great ride to go on, and I don't know. In the same way, I watch the lesser Bond movies. I watch the franchise movies that are like not always the favorites. Sometimes are like the best to just throw on. I guess that's what we're all saying.
Yeah.
But,
it's like a bonus movie. You feel like you have a bonus movie.
But Ryan, the way you described it earlier is the way I think of movies when I was a kid. I sat through the moments I didn't like, and I got to the moments that I loved, and it was still worth watching the movie. And that's what I'll do again.
I think maybe you should have watched some better movies as a kid. What were you watching? Warriors of Virtue? You should have been watching the Ninja Turtles.
As a kid, though, there are moments in even the Ninja Turtles where it's like, do we need this talking? When really, as an adult, you realize what the scene was all about and the context. Yeah. That you didn't
the
care about.
The first Ninja Turtles
Let's get past
movie
Sam Rockwell
so
asking for the menthols.
I don't even
know
that.
The first, so we were talking about this, and Sam and I were talking about this on a long road trip. We went on a trip together, and we were talking about that first Ninja Turtles movie is a real movie.
It's a real film, and it's actually based on, like, I think part of it was that, like, they developed it, and, like, it was before the cartoon. Like at least it was being developed like maybe alongside, but it was like so the and I'm not an expert comic book reader by any stretch, or I'm not like a historian of
comics.
Well,
you can only really understand the pictures, right?
Yeah, Sam's but, an amateur reader on this one.
But but as I understand it, you know, a buddy of mine, Alec, shout out if you're listening. Alec, who I went to see Phantom Menace with for the first time with the family. You know, Alec's a big comic book reader, and for a long time, you know, he was collecting all the old Turtles. They were doing like a re-release, both in the original black and white and like a colorized version, in order. And he was like reading them in order, and you know, he shared a few issues with me and was talking to me about it, and like those original Ninja Turtles books were like a deep satire of like it's kind of like throwing everything at the wall of like things that teens in the late 80s were into, buzzwords and stuff, but then they also told a very dark story.
Yeah,
they were,
well, like the
they were pretty, they were violent, they were dark, they were about like brother to brother like issues and everything, and I feel like that first movie was dipping its toe in that, and then what happened was when the cartoon show, which was developed I'm guessing at the same time, because I don't think the cartoon hit much before the movie, if it hit at all before, but like, you know, that clearly had an influence on the future movies to come, that they were a little dumbed down, they were more kids. Can we talk about Turtles more?
Can you,
this is Turtles Cast,
not bash my favorite film of all time, Turtles in Time?
That's your favorite one?
No,
wait, is that three?
That's third one. That's not my favorite.
Wow, here's something that can be said about that movie. It's in focus, and Elias Koteas comes back for it. Casey Jones reappears, and that's cool.
I was going to say, Casey Jones reappears, and I did think that that was that April's better performance, although I still love
first
OG
April.
91 Turtles April.
Yeah, she's great. She was in Armageddon also.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. I mean, at the time I didn't know like, oh, Elias Koteas must need some money. You know, like I just thought Casey Jones is back. I want to revisit it. You know what? We'll do that on a side pod.
Side pod.
I would love if people would weigh in.
if people would be down for us to cover the original Turtles trilogy, I can speak for Chris with total assurance. He would 100% be in. I would be in. It sounds
we
like
also
Ryan's
have
in.
A friend of ours is a Turtles expert. That would like to guess. So
I think I would clarify and say that I am a Turtles expert as well from the time that I was a child. Yes.
Oh, jeez. So and I'm not going to do this here on the podcast, but just so you know, this is well documented throughout my college years. One of my secret special skills is that I can guess people's favorite Ninja Turtles.
Oh, all right. Let's go for it.
Hit it.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it here on the pod.
Oh, come on, man.
I need more time. I can't do it over the phone.
You know us well enough by now, Ryan.
Hey, if you think the optics are better on you waiting, we'll wait.
Yeah, I do think the optics are better on me waiting.
All right,
I need a bigger focus group too. All
right, so
what do you mean? You've got four of us. We can just base it off of that. Which one, based on the four of the pod?
Well, let's just say that Chris is a Michelangelo, for sure.
That's not even a contest.
Right.
Folks can I do know that answer is accurate. I lived with him for many years.
Sam, you're a little bit of a wild card.
Interesting. Well, I'll be interested after you've had more time to think about it to see what you decide. Yeah.
He's got this Raphael kind of vibe because you're a little edgy, but you also have this Leonardo purity. But then you also have this Donatello, where you'd be I respect that he's a scientist. So it's tough.
It's amazing how you think that's going to elicit a response from me.
It's amazing how you think that wasn't the response I was trying to elicit.
Listeners, if you have enjoyed this, please hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or what is the Gmail?
droidspod@gmail.com
droidspod@gmail.com or at droidspod on the social media, and let us know how badly on a scale of one to ooze you want us to get into turtle mania.
Speaking of ooze, it rhymes with booze, and that brings us to
thank you for that transition. Well, I don't know if we have enough time for every segment here this week. We're kind of running out of time on this edition of the pod, but there was big news for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and Ryan, I really appreciate that setup. That was a good one.
Thank you. The booze news with Mike.
Disneyland, for the very first time, and I did not know this because Disney World for quite some time has had booze and served alcohol, but Disneyland, for the first time outside of Club 33, which is that special Disney club that I'm not even quite sure how people get into that, loads and loads of annual fees, I would imagine, they will serve alcohol at the cantina in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which means could be some questionable people spending a lot of time in the cantina rather than anywhere else in the park. They're just going to send their kids off. Okay, go to Toy Story Land. I'll be at the cantina. You'll see me after.
That would be a really expensive bad habit.
Well, if you have to take your kids and you need to find a drink to get yourself through the day, you're at the cantina. I find it to be, I'm just glad that you can kind of actually, again, immerse yourself in this world. So you go into the cantina and you order yourself a drink and you actually do feel like you're part of a cantina environment and not just a theme park. I mean, it is a theme park, but to have a drink will make you feel a little bit more at home. And I will say, having gone to Secret Cinema where you were trying to play along, a drink or two doesn't hurt to allow you to play along a little bit more. Now, you don't want to overindulge because then it becomes a bad time for everyone. But it might allow you to let down your guard, play along with the stormtrooper or the bounty hunter who comes after you in the cantina.
So do you think, will the cantina also be family friendly, you think?
It'll be both. There's no way. It's just that they're going to also offer alcohol, and I would imagine a very strict, policy on not over-serving anyone.
Of course, of course. Do you think that, if a kid eats too much and, throws up, that anyone's parents will flick a quarter at the bartender and say sorry for the mess?
I hope so.
Do you think we can make that happen?
Yeah. Well, we can just expect Chris to be the one to throw up, and then we'll throw a coin at the bartender.
That's very true. And I'm also sick of going. It'll be finally nice to be at a bar with Sam where him threatening to cut off another patron's arm is an appropriate thing for him to do.
I'm just glad I can finally wear my robe somewhere.
They stop letting you wear that to the movies right after all the complaints.
But guys, we've got a bigger problem. Droids are not allowed in the cantina, not going to be served. What do we do? Maybe because this cantina is on Batuu instead of on Tatooine. They're a little more open-minded, a little more inclusive. I think we'll be okay. Batuu's got to be a more welcoming place. It is the last outpost before the Outer Rim space. It has to be a place that welcomes droids and serves droids happily.
Mike, mad respect. You put the thought in, and you got us there. Because I was concerned for a second. Because you know that if I can't go somewhere with my droid heads, I'm not going.
And this is the big trip for the droid heads next year.
This is the big
books.
This is the big trip.
For all the listeners out there, we're not going to be attending Celebration. We made an executive decision that it will be a trip to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Sometime within the first couple of months of it opening. I have basically haven't even talked about this with all of you, but I'm deciding for you that you're making this trip.
Here's the thing. Bob Iger, this, and you know, again, we don't like to go behind the scenes too much, but Bob Iger reached out about us hosting Celebration. We said, listen, we're going to Galaxy's Edge. We got lives, Bob. We can't be just going down to Florida, out to California whenever you want us to. So it's a little fresh. We want to maintain the relationship. Don't be tweeting at Bob Iger too much. But that is what happened. We made a decision so that we could, because everybody can't host Celebration, but we want to go with all the droid heads, and we can all go to Galaxy's Edge.
I told Bob Iger what Joe Pantoliano told my acting class. I just asked him if they were going to hit my numbers, I'd be there. That's what I said. I said, if you can hit the number, I'll be there.
First and only Joey Pants reference on this podcast? Can't be the only. We'll have another one.
I'm going to say first, far from the last.
With Sam, you think you're getting only one Joey Pants reference? No, sir. He is the cipher of our podcast.
I hate to leave it there, as we have many more things to discuss, but this a little shorter version. And Sam, I'm sorry we didn't get to the jackets, and Ryan, your update on KOTAR. Unless you want to do a quick one, we might want to leave it till next week, but there's plenty more.
I have so much to talk about with KOTAR. I have really a lot. I've been playing it so much. But you know what? We will delay it till next week because that's what we need to do.
Someone hasn't been playing Spider-Man his entire free time.
No, I've been swinging around KOTAR, and do I love the characterization of New York City in that game.
I'm going to leave a little tease for people and say, think about the jacket that you would wear if you had a long flight.
Basketball shorts?
On that note, that's going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Don't forget to email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know if you want us to start the TMNT pod, where we go through the entire trilogy of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And, Sam, you might want to let your friend Alec know that they have made a movie-perfect replica 1/6 scale figure of the original Turtles from the first movie for sale for like $22.
Sam made a Lego version of that, I messed it up. The joke was going to be that Chris made a Lego version of that one Christmas on accident. Oh, man.
Perfect.
Leave it in.
Would have been sweet.
That'll do it for the pod. We'll be back next week.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
It is you, Annie.
Great.